I want you. I want everyone in this room. Every single person that is sitting in this room right now, I want you to leave at the end of this week convinced of one thing. And that is that Jesus is greater. That is our theme for the week. And that is what I want you to be convinced of more than anything else when these 5 days are over. Jesus is greater. He's greater than anything you've ever done. He's greater than anything you could ever do. He's greater than any achievement. He's greater than anything that you own, anything that you could ever own, anything that you could accumulate over 10,000 lifetimes. Jesus is greater. He's greater than any person. He's greater than any power. Jesus is greater than the sum of all other things combined. Jesus is greater. Now, there are two kinds of responses to that statement. Some of you may hear that statement and say, that's great, that's exciting, but I already know that. I'm already convinced that Jesus is greater. So if your one goal is that I leave convinced that Jesus is greater, congratulations, you've accomplished your goal. So some of you may already be thinking in that term, I already believe that. I already believe that he's better than everything else combined. I'm already convinced that Jesus is greater. What I want us to embrace this week is that even if you already believe everything that I just said, you aren't as convinced of that truth as you should be. You don't know that truth as well as you should. I don't know that truth as well as I should. And we certainly don't live that truth as consistently as we should. Students, no matter how much you value Jesus, you undervalue him. No matter how much you value him, you undervalue Jesus, because Jesus is the one thing that is impossible to overvalue. You cannot overvalue Jesus. It can't be done. It's never been done. It's impossible. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Peter is writing to a group of believers, and he tells them this. You know what I want you to do, Christian? I want you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to people that know Jesus. But what he says to them is, I want you to know him more. I want you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though you already know him more, know him better, develop a closer relationship with Christ. Value him more. There's a second response to hearing the message that Jesus is greater, and that is, you may say, I didn't know that that's true. I didn't know that Jesus is greater. I didn't know that he's better than anything and everything. In fact, I'm not really even sure that I know who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? If you don't know the answer to that question, what I'm about to tell you is the most important information that you could hear. So we're hitting it strong, 1 hour into Ascend Camp, with the most important information you could ever hear. Who is Jesus? To answer that question, the first thing that we need to understand is that God is what theologians call a trinity. A trinity. That God is a triunity. And that doesn't mean that there are three gods. It means that there is one God in three persons. Each one of those three persons are equally and fully God, and yet they're distinct from one another. The three persons of the Godhead, the three members of the Trinity, are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is that second member of the Trinity. Jesus is the Son of God. And when we rightly understand who God is, another way of saying that is saying that Jesus is God. When we say Jesus is the Son of God, we're saying that he is God, that he is that member of the triune God. Jesus is God. What has Jesus done? Jesus, the eternal, all-powerful God, who has all authority and all glory and all riches and all honor, he became a man. He took on flesh. And he didn't take on flesh because it made him better in some way to have flesh. The Bible says that Jesus humbled himself and took on flesh. 2 Corinthians 8 says, though he was rich, he became poor. Now, Jesus, as a man, was still the glorious God. He was still the creator and the sustainer of the universe. But Jesus, as God in all of his glory, when he took on flesh, that glory was covered up. It was veiled in the flesh that he willingly took upon himself. So what did Jesus do? He became a man. He masked his glory with flesh. And he didn't become a man in the sense that he came down and just instantly became a strong man. Jesus, God, became a fetus in his mother's womb. And he was born a helpless infant. The God of the universe is an infant in his mother's arms. And he's called Emmanuel. It means God is with us. But that's not all Jesus did. He grew. He grows up. He lives a perfect life. He never sins. Never a sinful thought. Never a sinful action. He's perfect. And he has a ministry. As he gets older, he begins to preach the good news that God saves repentant sinners. He performs signs and miracles that confirm that he is God, that he is who he says he is, and that he has all power, and that he forgives sin. He teaches men to follow him, to leave everything behind, because he's infinitely worth it and nothing else matters. But Jesus does more than that. One day he is handed over to evil men who condemned him to die because of who he claimed to be. They sentenced him to the cruelest form of capital punishment, death on a cross, where they nailed him to a piece of wood and lifted him up in the air to hang until he died. Remember where we started? Jesus, the eternal, all-powerful God who has all authority and all glory and all riches and all honor, is hanging on a cross to die. And he dies. He gives up his life. He breathes his last. Why would he do that? Why did Jesus die? So that you might have eternal life. Jesus died so that you might have eternal life. And the only way that you could ever have eternal life is if someone else pays the penalty for your sin. Because you, like me, are a sinner. And the penalty for sin, the Bible says, is death. The only person who didn't have to die is the person who was not a sinner and who never sinned. That's Jesus. So look at this. The one who didn't deserve the penalty paid the penalty so that you didn't have to pay the penalty. Jesus died. But he didn't stay dead. He didn't stay dead. The Bible says that it was impossible for the grave to hold Jesus. And so after 3 days, Jesus rose from the dead. He rose from the grave. He defeated death so that you too can live in eternal life. That's who Jesus is. The eternal God who became a man and lived a human life so that he could give up his life so that you could have eternal life. Jesus is the eternal God who became a man and lived a human life so that he could give up his life so that you could have eternal life. If all of that is true, and I assure you that it is, you cannot overvalue Jesus. Can't be done. You cannot place too high of a value on who he is. With that in mind, open your Bibles to Philippians 3. Philippians 3, this is our theme verse for the week, and I want us to kick off our week looking at what Paul has to say about the value of Christ. Paul knew everything that we just said about Jesus. He knew it all to be true. And so with that in mind, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul writes these words. We're going to be in verses 7 and 8. Philippians 3, verses 7 and 8, Paul says this. whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. In these verses, Paul draws what's going to be a very brief outline for us tonight. Three conclusions about the value of Jesus. Three conclusions about the value of Jesus. The first conclusion that he draws is that Jesus is greater than any achievement. Three conclusions about the value of Jesus. Number one, Jesus is greater than any achievement. Paul, before he knew Christ, when he was named Saul, was actually a pretty impressive guy. He lists a resume. A religious resume. He lists it off in this chapter. In verses 4 through 6, he lists off some of what he had accumulated in the flesh. Check this out. Verse 4, although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, I was a persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness which is in the law, I was found blameless. Paul, at the time named Saul, in those verses is listing off his religious resume. He says, I had the ability to put confidence in my flesh. That's his works, the things that he had accomplished or achieved. He says, I went through everything that a Jew was supposed to go to. I was a Pharisee, a high up religious leader. You want to know how passionate I was about what I believed? I killed people that disagreed with me. I persecuted the church, he says. You want to know how well I kept the law? I was blameless. I was blameless. No one could point a finger at me. So he says in verse 4, if anyone could put confidence in their works, it was me. He's listing his achievements, the things that he's earned, the works that he's performed, the accomplishments that he's achieved. But what Paul is saying in verse 7 is all of that stuff, everything that I achieved, everything that I built up over my lifetime, it means nothing. I count it all as loss. For the sake of knowing Christ. Students, it doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is greater. It doesn't matter what you failed to do. Jesus is greater. It doesn't matter what you can ever accomplish in 10,000 lifetimes. Jesus is infinitely greater. Jesus is greater than any achievement. But as he moves on through this passage, Paul actually draws a wider circle than just his achievements. Okay, so I have a second point for you. Are you still with me? We faded. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. Point two, we're flying. Point number two, Jesus is greater than any possession. Not only is Jesus greater than any achievement, Jesus is greater than any possession. Verse 8, he begins with three words. He says, more than that, which is significant because the last thing he said is that Jesus is greater than anything I could ever earn. Then he says, actually, more than even that, he's drawing a wider circle here. More than that, he says, I count all things to be loss. In other words, it's not just Paul's achievements. It's any possession. Anything, all things. He says it's all loss. Anything you have, anything you could ever have, it pales in comparison to Christ. Paul doesn't just say that Jesus is greater than any one thing. He says Jesus is greater than all things. I count all things to be loss. If you combined everything in the universe, every possession in the universe, and compared it with Christ, Jesus is greater. Later on in verse 8, he says, I look at all of these things. I look at everything, and it's rubbish. It's rubbish, which is a funny word. We don't use it often in our language, but it's a word that means garbage or trash. It's worthless. I recognize that it has no value. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood tonight. Paul is not saying that you aren't allowed to have things, that possessions are sinful. But he is saying that if you're a Christian, that you need to recognize that those things aren't actually where your value is placed, that those things aren't the things that you actually value. You value Christ. If you value the combination of everything else in the world more than Jesus, then you don't understand who he is. If you think the combination of everything else is better than him, you don't rightly understand who he is. And I want us to grow in that this week. Because I struggle to value Jesus Christ as I should. Number three, third conclusion about the value of Jesus. Jesus is worth the loss of anything and everything. Jesus is worth the loss of anything and everything. If Jesus is greater than anything and everything, then it demands that you value him higher than everything. Practically, that means that you accept that he is actually worth the loss of anything. That if you have to lose something to know Christ, then it's infinitely worth it. Paul actually highlights this in verse 8. He says, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul gave up a lot when he became a believer. A lot of the things that we just talked about that he accumulated to himself, he lost when he became a believer. You know what he said? It doesn't matter because those things aren't valuable. If I have to lose everything to know Christ, it's infinitely worth it. So students, whether you know him or not, You need to know him more. Whether you value him or not, you need to value him more. Because he's worth it. He's infinitely worth it. Following Jesus doesn't mean that you will lose everything. But it does mean that you need to be willing to. Because if you're not willing to, then you don't understand who Jesus is. He's greater. There was a man in the Philippines who was diving and found a cool-looking rock one day. And he loved how the rock looked, and so he brought it back up to the surface and brought it back to his house and placed it under his bed, thinking that the rock would bring him some good luck. And the rock sat under his bed. It kind of became forgotten. And 10 years later, after the rock had sat under his bed as a good luck charm for 10 years, he is moving to another location, and he's cleaning up his room and moving the bed, and he finds this rock that he had placed there 10 years ago for good luck. And the rock was kind of heavy. It was kind of heavy, and so he didn't really want to deal with it as he was moving. And so what he did was he took the rock and he gave it to one of his relatives and said, hey, I want you to deal with this. It's kind of a pain as I'm moving. So if you could just take this, that would be great. His relative recognized that the rock that he had just given them was not any normal rock. It was a pearl. It was a pearl that weighed 75 pounds and was 2 feet wide. It was the largest pearl that has ever been discovered. The previous largest pearl ever discovered weighed 14 pounds and was sold for $93 million. This dude had a 75-pound, 2-foot pearl sitting under his bed for good luck. He didn't even know what was laying beneath him every night. He didn't know that right below him was legacy-changing wealth. All it was worth to him was a little bit of good luck, but to others who recognized what it was worth hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't want you to make the same mistake this week. Because you have something of infinite value before you. Don't pass it up. It'd be the greatest mistake you could ever make. To hear of the value of Christ and to walk away unchanged. Jesus is infinitely more valuable than that rock. So this week, we want to help you to value Jesus Christ more. So I want us to commit as a group to doing that together, to knowing Jesus more. I'm gonna list 7 points that I want all of us to embrace. 7 points that I want all of us to embrace. This is how to have a profitable week at camp. How to have a profitable week at camp. We'll close with this. Number one, how do I have a profitable week at camp? I want us right now to set our desires on valuing Christ more. Set your desire on valuing Christ more. I want you to commit that in your heart right now, that this week I want to grow in my knowledge of the Savior. I want to grow in how I value the Savior. I want to value Christ more. Set your desire on that now. Number two, we're going to get really, really logistical here, okay? Pay attention in sessions. Pay attention in sessions. When we're gathered together, when we're talking about this theme, when we're opening God's word and seeing what it has to say, lock in, learn. This is how we grow to know Christ more. So we have two incredible speakers that are going to be joining us this week. They're going to be helping us to value Christ more. Pay attention as they're communicating God's word to you. Pay attention as you're singing God's word. We're singing carefully selected music that exalts the name of Christ. So don't just sing along to the melody. Focus on what it is that you're doing. Number three, interact in small groups. When you break to small groups, I want each of you to interact, to engage, to ask questions, to listen to what your pastors and your leaders are telling you, to ask them questions when you have them. Interact in small groups. Number four, read carefully in devotions. Read carefully in devotions. Every morning, we are going to read through the book of Philippians. We're going to start tomorrow morning in Philippians 1 during your devotional time. Then we're going to do 2, 3, 4. Jesus Christ is lifted high in the book of Philippians. Read carefully. Read to grow. If you have questions, ask your leaders. Number five, respect your leaders. Respect your leaders. It is not normal for adults to come to summer camp and hang out with middle and high school students for 5 days. I want you to recognize that what they're doing is actually kind of crazy. But they're doing it because they love you and they care about you and they want to see Christ formed in you. So respect them, thank them, honor them, obey them. Number six, sleep. Sleep. You're not going to be able to do the things up higher in this list if when it's time to go to bed, you don't go to bed. Okay, so I'm just begging you to embrace all of this. It's going to be important for you to actually get to bed and get some sleep because we go hard at Ascend Camp and you're going to be exhausted, so get some rest. Number seven, finally, have fun. Have fun. We're going to have a blast this week. We have so many great things scheduled for you. I want you to be excited. Can we just all agree right now that we're all going to be a little crazy this week? We do some things. Yeah. I want you all to just kind of access your crazy side for the next 5 days, and we're going to have a blast together. Okay? I want you to have fun, embrace this week, but recognize the point. We need to value Jesus Christ more. If you do that, I promise you, this will be an incredible week. Father, help us. Help us to value you more. Help us to love you more. Help us to know you more because of our time at camp this week. We don't value you as we should. We let other things get in the way, possessions, achievements, things of the world. Father, cause this week to make a difference in our lives to where we would leave saying, I am convinced that Jesus is greater than anything and everything. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.